Welcome to Base by Dace, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. We are diving deep today into one of the most agonizing problems in neuroscience, Alzheimer's disease, and specifically the really paradoxical behavior of the brain's own immune system.
It is a profound contradiction, isn't it? I mean, you have these cells, the microglia, that are supposed to be our ultimate defense.
The brain scavengers?
Exactly. They're meant to clean up debris, protect neurons, and you find them right at the scene of the crime, surrounding these toxic amyloid plaques.
But they're not cleaning up.
Not always. In fact, often they seem to turn against the very neurons they're supposed to guard. They start fueling this destructive neuroinflammatory fire.
It's like the neighborhood watch suddenly started setting things on fire. And this failure to protect is what drives so much of the toxicity and progression of Alzheimer's. So the essential mission of this deep dive is to answer one question. What is the genetic mechanism, the sort of master switch, that decides whether a microglial cell becomes a guardian or an aggressor?
And what if that switch isn't some highly specialized brain factor, but a gene regulator we've known about for years, one that controls the body's general immune cells?
That would be a huge twist.
It is. We are going to reveal a highly effective hidden population of protective immune cells in the brain. And they're governed by a completely unexpected piece of genetic programming, a lymphoid identity.
This sounds truly profound, and this insight comes from the comprehensive work detailed by Pinar Ayata, Jessica Crowley, and their colleagues.
Yes, from institutions like the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai and Washington University School of Medicine. Their approach here, using multiple platforms to understand these microglial states, is really pushing the limits of what we can see inside the neurodegenerative brain.
Okay, so let's unpack the context a bit. We know that microglia aren't just one thing. They're plastic. They exist in multiple functional states in AD.
That's right. Some are good. They clear amyloid, they protect neurons, and others become what we often call disease-associated microglia, or DAM.
And those are the bad guys.
They can be highly inflammatory and harmful, yes. The trick is guiding them toward the protective side.
Which brings us to the molecular knob they focused on, a protein called PU.1.
PU.1, it's encoded by the SPI1 gene, and it's what we call a non-canonical pioneer transcription factor.
Okay, that's a mouthful. Let's break that down. A transcription factor is like a dimming switch for genes, right?
A great analogy. It controls whole groups of genes, dictating what a cell does. But a pioneer factor is even more fundamental. Think of it as the foreman on a construction site. It lays down the initial blueprint. It dictates the entire identity of the cell.
And PU.1 is the foreman for?
For myeloid cells, things like macrophages and, yes, microglia. It's their master regulator.
And what makes this gene so central to Alzheimer's? It's that connection we've already seen in humans, isn't it?
Absolutely. This is the crucial context that really kicked off the whole project. Large human genetic studies showed that people who naturally carry a common variant that leads to reduced PU.1 expression.
So less of this protein.
Less of it.
Yeah.
And those people show a protective effect. They have delayed AD onset and reduced disease severity.
Wow. So the dosage is everything.
It's strongly suggested that the amount of PU.1 is absolutely central to AD risk. But until the study, we didn't really know why or how that reduction worked its magic in the brain.
So we have the paradox, the microglia turning bad. Mm-hmm. We have the suspect PU.1 dosage. Now they just needed a high-tech way to connect the dots and, you know, prove causation.
Precisely. To map this whole process, they started with the 5xFAD mouse model, which develops really aggressive amyloid pathology.
Okay.
But they couldn't just look at the average cell response. That's not good enough. They needed to find that hidden population of beneficial cells, which are often masked by the huge number of inflammatory ones.
So they had to be incredibly precise about what the cells were and where they were.
That's right. So they used a really comprehensive approach. First, single cell and single nucleus RNA sequencing CRNA-seq and snRNA-seq.
To profile gene expression in thousands of individual cells.
Right. But that only tells you what genes are on. Critically, they combine this with advanced spatial transcriptomics, specifically a technique called MRFISH.
MRFISH, that's the key to the where, isn't it?
Yes. MRFISH lets you create a spatial map. You can see exactly where the cells are and what genes they're expressing in situ, right there in the brain tissue, next to the amyloid plaques. It's essential for understanding the cell's environment and its response.
But the real game changer, the thing that proves causation, was the genetic engineering. They didn't just observe a correlation, they went in and flipped the switch themselves.
So they did. They created these highly specific mouse models where they could manipulate microglial PU.1 levels after birth postnatally.
That's important.
It is. It avoids any issues that might affect development. So they made PU.1 low mice with about a 50% reduction in the protein and a PU.1 high mice with about a 25% increase.
And that gave them the power to test, definitively, if turning that PU.1 dial down was truly the therapeutic path.
Exactly. And here's where the detective story gets really interesting. Using those sequencing maps, they immediately spotted a distinct microglial subpopulation.
Among the DAM, the disease-associated ones.
Yes, and this group showed significantly lower PU.1 protein expression. They dubbed these the PU.1 low microglia.
And were they just randomly scattered?
Not at all. And this wasn't random. They found that these PU.1 low cells preferentially clustered right at the amyloid plaques. The plaque itself was the signal that initiated the change.
Wow.
And what's more, they confirmed this exact low PU.1 signature in plaque-associated microglia taken from actual human AD patients.
So this is a highly relevant human discovery, immediately confirmed in the model.
Instantly.
So the plaque contact is the trigger. But how does the cell translate that signal of plaque contact into the command to reduce PU.1?
It's surface receptor-mediated signaling. They identify that the initial contact activates this molecular sensor pathway involving a tyrosine kinase called SYK and its downstream target, PLC gamma 2.
Okay, so those two proteins are the messengers.
They're the molecular mechanism. They translate the external presence of the plaque into an internal command to alter the genetoidentity. And when they inhibited SYK or PLC gamma 2, the number of those beneficial PU.1 low microglia just plummeted.
That's a remarkable cell autonomous change. But here's the most surprising and I think paradigm-shifting finding. The new identity these PU.1 low cells adopt.
It's genuinely revolutionary. When PU.1 is reduced, these cells undergo a dramatic transcriptional shift. They start upregulating a set of genes that looks entirely non-microbial.
What do you mean?
They start expressing genes for immunoregulatory lymphoid receptors and signaling proteins. The entire expression pattern starts to resemble a T-cell.
Yeah,
A T-cell, which belongs to the adaptive immune system, not the innate immune system where microglia are supposed to reside.
So a myeloid cell is putting on a T-cell uniform in the middle of the brain. That sounds like something that should never, ever happen.
It does. And the key piece of that uniform they found was high expression of CD28.
CD28. Now, that's a huge name in immunology.
Absolutely critical. In T cells, CD28 is the go button. It's the co-stimulatory signal you need for full T cell activation. Finding this highly expressed on a microglial cell right next to a plaque suggests these PU.1 low cells have acquired a whole new sophisticated way to regulate their aggression.
And they found other lymphoid markers too.
They did. Things like PD-1 and PD-L1 were also upregulated.
Okay, so we've identified this neuroprotective subpopulation. It's got low PU.1. It's got high T cell markers like CD28. But what does this new identity actually do? This brings us to the functional proof in those PU.1 low mice.
And the functional data is just, it's overwhelming. Genetically lowering PU.1 levels in those 5xFAD mice proved profoundly protective across every single measure of pathology and function.
Like what?
For one, they observed a doubling in the number of microglia associated with plaques. So you get a stronger, more focused immune response.
And that response was definitively beneficial, not toxic.
Exactly. A dramatic reduction in markers of harmful generalized inflammation. Specifically, they saw a drop in type I interferon-stimulated genes like MEK1 and dangerous components like C1q. The shift away from toxicity was crystal clear.
And what about the plaques themselves? And the other big player in Alzheimer's, tau.
The structural pathology improved. The overall amyloid burden decreased, and the plaques that were left were more compacted, which makes them less toxic to the surrounding tissue. And crucially, they showed that this enhanced microglial function also blocked the spread of pathogenic human tau aggregates.
So it's hitting both major hallmarks of the disease.
It is. The PU.1 low state tackles not just the amyloid, but also the tau progression.
This isn't just some minor improvement in a petri dish.
Yeah.
When you see results like this, you have to ask, what was the bottom line for the animals? What about their memory, their quality of life?
The cognitive benefits were remarkable. Preserved near wild type levels. Synaptic integrity. The actual physical connections between neurons, the AD just shreds, was maintained.
So the wiring was intact.
And so was the function. They measured long-term potentiation, or LTP, the fundamental mechanism for learning and memory, and it was preserved. Behaviorally, deficits in tasks like novel object recognition were completely prevented.
So lower PU.1 means better memory, lower pathology, and decreased toxicity. But the most compelling evidence that PU.1 is the major decider here.
Yeah.
It has to be the lifespan data.
It's the ultimate confirmation of causality. Lowering PU.1 significantly extended the lifespan of the 5xFAD mice.
It actually made them live longer.
Yes. And conversely, increasing PU.1 levels actually shortened their lives. This confirms what the human genetic data hinted at all along. PU.1 dosage controls the disease trajectory.
Okay, let's circle back to that T-cell receptor CD28. It's the flag of this protective subpopulation. Mm-hmm. How do we know it's essential and not just, you know, a passenger molecule that's along for the ride?
That required another causal experiment. They tested CD28's specific role by creating a mouse model with a microglia-specific deletion of CD28.
Taking away the protective break.
Exactly. If this receptor is the key, taking it away should be detrimental.
And what happened when they deleted the T-cell go button from the microglial guards?
It was bad news. Deleting CD28 led to an increase in amyloid plaque burden, and it actively promoted a broad, detrimental pro-inflammatory response across roughly 30% of the entire microglial population.
Wow.
This confirms that the CD28-positive PU.1 low microglia aren't just protective, they actively operate as suppressive microglia. They act as an essential internal brake to stop the generalized neuroinflammation that the rest of the microglia would otherwise unleash.
This supports a truly groundbreaking model, then. The protective state is achieved by intentionally reducing PU.1, which then reprograms the cell to express lymphoid receptors like CD28.
And that T-cell-like programming essentially disarms the inflammatory response and turbocharges the plaque clearance.
And they tied this back to humans one more time.
They did. The study connected this mechanism back to the human data, showing that individuals carrying that naturally occurring PU.1 lowering protective allele, they showed an increased presence of this specific lymphoid gene-expressing microglial subset. The biology they discovered in the mouse is validated by the protection we see in human genetics.
So the therapeutic implications are, they're vast. We're not just talking about clearing plaques with external drugs anymore. We're talking about subtly reprogramming the brain's own hardware.
Exactly. Instead of trying to eliminate microglia, which is always a risky strategy, the idea shifts to promoting their beneficial function. The findings highlight CD28 and potentially other lymphoid receptors on these cells as prime targets for treatment.
And the beauty of targeting a surface receptor like CD28 is that it opens the door to antibody-based therapy, doesn't it?
It does. We could be moving toward highly specific antibody-based microglia-driven immunotherapy. You could potentially use targeted antibodies to selectively enhance or modulate the activity of these PU.1 low CD28 expressing suppressive cells. It's precision medicine for the brain's immune system.
Guiding it away from aggression and back toward its intended role as a protector.
Exactly.
This research really challenges the classic rigid boundaries between innate and adaptive immunity, but inside the brain itself.
Mm.
What's the central insight we should take away from this incredible discovery?
The central insight is this. Microglia, when faced with the challenge of amyloid plaques, have a sophisticated escape route. It's a neuroprotective state they achieve by lowering their master regulator, PU.1. And this subtle shift equips them with T-cell-like immunoregulatory receptors, notably CD28.
Allowing them to act as suppressive internal brakes.
Yes. Brakes on widespread harmful neuroinflammation. And that ultimately protects the neurons and extends life.
That is a fundamental biological discovery. And it leaves me with a final provocative thought. We know that chronic harmful inflammation plays a starring role in so many other complex neurodegenerative diseases, Parkinson's, ALS. So what does this unexpected regulatory mechanism mean for treating those conditions? Could this lymphoid mimicry be a universal pathway to tame inflammation in the central nervous system?
It certainly suggests that the potential to manipulate these internal immune switches goes far beyond just Alzheimer's.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
We wake up in the quiet neural streets. Tiny bright sparks patrolling tangled, fragile roads. Listening for the storm behind the eyes, softly counting every fading line of light. Choosing where to stand and hold the line. We feel the plaques like darkened city blocks. We send our guards to circle every stone. A tiny switch turns thunder into glow. We are the tiny shield. A small new sign glowing on our surface. When it is there, the fire starts to listen. We wrap the scars, compact the spreading damage, saving quiet bridges where your thoughts connect. In distant rooms, they watch us on their screens. They tweak our code and see the graphs try slower. More sparks stay bright, more pathways stay connected. Small lives run longer in amazing, and every line of data whispers there is hope. We are the tiny shield. Stay and hold.